Well, good morning. Welcome to Living Water. I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. We had good introductions to the message this morning already, both in the children's lesson and in the songs. And yesterday, our country celebrated Independence Day. And it was celebrated because of what happened back in 1776. Well over 200 years ago. And the word that's in our mind when we think of Independence Day many times is freedom. The Declaration of Independence, the founding of a new nation from former British colonies. Those are all things, if you know your history, you know about. But what did they want to become independent from? If you read about it, you find that they were experiencing oppression. They were experiencing abuse, removal of rights, false justice and punishment. And so their declaration was to break free of a tyrant who was strangling them by removing their freedom. And so then in this new country where they came, they struggled with slavery. In fact, some of the signers of the Declaration of Independence were slave owners. And so the words life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness was unequal, or could we say it was partial to depending on who you were. And so not all of the inhabitants of the new United States of America were equal in the sight of the law. Not everyone was given the full advantages and blessings of liberty or freedom. And so it took almost 100 years to get rid of the blight of slavery. And even today, you look around and read the news and you have riots and you have all kinds of things. We have a nation that's struggling with equal rights. And so we still struggle in judging a person by the color of their skin rather than by the content of their character. And so I believe all of us would agree that freedom is good, slavery is bad. Freedom and the blessing of liberty are ideals that this nation fought for and they bled for. There was a lot of bloodshed over that. Slavery is a great injustice that this nation had a civil war over. And so freedom's a blessing. Slavery is sin against God and mankind. And so today we want to celebrate the birth of our nation. That's okay, but should that be our focus? We think of the documents like the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and all of that. But this morning I'd like to spend a few minutes with the Apostle Paul in Galatians 5. Paul is calling us back into slavery here. Now, I came across an article on Facebook yesterday that I'm going to read just maybe the first paragraph and the last paragraph of, written by Felicia Masonheimer. She says, "I'm an American, but before that, I'm a Christian. And it's important to never get these two out of order." And then the last paragraph, she says, "We are citizens here. But we are citizens of something greater. Those who put their heavenly citizenship first are better earthly citizens as well. As my ministry has expanded internationally, I have realized how important this concept is to effective evangelism. Today, I am grateful for what the USA has afforded me, and I am even more grateful for a kingdom not of this world. We can be proud Americans, but let us never be more American than we are Christian." And so Paul is calling us here to a slavery of love to each other as a testimony to the commandment that we are to love our neighbors as ourselves. And so I've titled the message, The Christian's Independence Day. And as I mentioned, the text is Galatians 5. I want to read verse 1 and then drop down to verse 13. It says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty," or freedom, "wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Now verse 13. "For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like." Or in other words, and there are other things. "I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." That's the conclusion. "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." And so we have the works of the flesh, 17 things listed. But it's "and such like." There's not a conclusion to that list. There's many other things that could be in that list. The fruit of the Spirit lists 9 things, and it's all inclusive. If we have the fruit of the Spirit, we need nothing else, because our life will manifest the right in everything else. And so it seems strange, maybe, that Paul is telling us that we are to use our freedom to become slaves. And this is a freedom that is not practiced all that well today. For Paul, freedom means becoming a slave to each other, a slave to Christ. And that's a freedom that maybe we aren't practicing too well. For many of us, freedom means to be free to do whatever I want to do. So I don't go to work tomorrow. I have the day off. I can do whatever I want to do. Should we rather maybe be thinking, okay, I have the day off tomorrow. How can I best use this day for God, for Christ, and find something constructive and something to do? Verse 1 of our chapter says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty," or freedom, "wherewith Christ hath made us free." And so being set free in Christ is not to get freedom to do as we please, but it's freedom to do as Jesus pleases or would want us to do. Paul says, do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence. You know, there's no get-out-of-jail-free card in our life. Actions have consequences. How we spend our time, how we spend our resources, what we think about has consequences. And Paul is hoping we don't learn that the hard way. In Romans 6, verse 1, Paul again is speaking about our relationship with Christ and the way that grace frees us from sin. And so he's asking the question, what shall we say then? Do we just continue on sinning? And then he answers that by saying, God forbid. Absolutely not. And then verse 2, how is it possible for us who are dead to sin go on living in sin? And so the passage there is talking about the Mosaic Law. And the law is something that helps to identify sin. You know, if we have no driving laws, you don't know if you're in error or not, because there's nothing that tells you. But you have driving laws to create a safe atmosphere for everyone, because there's people out there that would really abuse their driving if there were no consequences. And so the law is in place to keep everybody driving the same way. And so too many of us think the law is a tool for control, or it can be used for power, position, and separation. Paul declares freedom from that law if you are filled with the fruit of the Spirit. We don't need the law, but it's still there for those who are not living by the fruit of the Spirit. He tells the churches in Galatia that they are called by God through Jesus to be free. In other words, they're to live in such a way that the law did not dictate the way they lived or their choices, but the fruit of the Spirit did. Their relationship with God did. And so the people of Paul's day suffered persecution and hardship, which only became more intense as they became Christians. The community made it tough for them to live a Christian life. It was hard for them to celebrate the freedom that Paul encourages here. They had already broken from their old traditions, and they're now trying to figure out, how do we go about living out this new faith? And they had lots of questions, lots of pressure to give in. And the pressure was to live under the Old Testament law. And Paul saw that they were using the law to cover up sin. But they still had the problem of sin to deal with, just like we do today. You know, the second sentence of the declaration, and I never memorized that as some people did, but the second sentence of the Declaration of Independence says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable or unchangeable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So over 200 years ago, we can still enjoy that freedom that the Declaration of Independence created for us. There's a lot of places in this world where there's little to no freedom. Places where life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness is nothing more than a dream. They can only dream about it. And so the freedom we have is cooperative. And that's where our nation is lacking today. We are a divided nation. But this freedom is to be, even the declaration, you know, the Independence Day, what that represents, the freedom of our country is to be cooperative. It's a union of people that want to protect God-given rights at a cost that is shared by the group. And that's what happened back then. That's how it was attained. And we have people dismantling that today. And so in our text, Paul is telling the churches in Galatia, they were meant to be free, but it was free from the slavery of sin. Free from the obligation to keep the law that's impossible to keep. However, Paul explains that with freedom, there are still rules and limits. And rule number one, right here, we have it in our text. Do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another with love. And so with that rule, we cannot use our freedom to become immoral people. We can't use our freedom to abuse or use other people. We cannot use our freedom to avoid obligations within the brotherhood. We cannot use our freedom to sit around and do nothing. Our freedom is not a license to sin in any way. And then he adds that we're to serve one another in love. And then in verse 13, we have the second rule. Through love, become slaves to one another. And the challenge for us is to love one another as Christ loved us. That love your neighbor, that started all the way back in Leviticus. Love your neighbor. And then Jesus is quoted in Matthew, Mark, and Luke saying the same thing. And now Paul and James go on with it, reminding us. And so here Paul is telling us that this one rule replaces the entire law for those living by the fruit of the Spirit. And so this one rule, if followed, is going to set your life on an even footing, going in the right direction. And you won't need the law to govern your decisions. It's only those who have not experienced Christ that need that. And so this one rule is going to set you free of all the little and petty restrictions. Loving your neighbor as self. What does that really mean? How do you love yourself? Well, if you get hungry, what do? You go find food. If you get thirsty, what do? You go get a drink. You satisfy your thirst. When you're sick, you baby yourself. You take care of yourself. And that's what he's saying, that there's a lot of things we do for ourselves, but are we willing to do for others? Some of the things we do for ourselves are needs. We need the things we're doing. Others are simply comfort measures. And then others are strictly for fun. Now, are any of those wrong? No. But are we willing to help somebody else achieve the same things? I am worth all that, right? But is our brother or sister? With freedom come obligations to family, community, neighbors, brothers and sisters in the church, and even to people that we may not value that much. We should still show love. Now, many of you don't remember this, but I do. Few of you would. But I remember the day when there were no grocery stores open on a Sunday. There were no gas stations, maybe along the freeways, but not in towns. Gas stations were closed Sundays. And you couldn't eat out. Restaurants were closed. And I remember, some of you like this, when it was against the law to hunt or fish on Sunday. It was against the law. You could hunt all the other 6 days, but you could not. If you were caught hunting or fishing on Sunday, you were arrested. What has changed? And how many of those things affect us as Christ followers? Does it matter to us if these things were still all closed? I actually remember one restaurant. I could take you right to the restaurant that was former Mennonite people that owned it at the time, many years ago, when this all started changing. But I remember the day that we were told that restaurant is now open on Sunday, along with some others. They weren't the only ones. They weren't the first ones. But everybody was just appalled that this particular restaurant was open on Sunday because of who was owned it. And a Mennonite took the liberty and went and talked to the owner. And you know what the owner told him? If it wasn't for the Mennonites that patronized my restaurant on Sunday, I couldn't stay open. That's sad. I came across some statistics that when the stores started being open on Sundays, marijuana use increased 11%, and heavy use of alcohol increased by 5%, not out there, but within the church, among churchgoers. And so it makes you wonder, what other pleasure-seeking things are happening among church attenders? I'm not calling them Christians, note, though they may be. I'm not going to be the judge. But what other things are happening among church attenders? Maybe we're not so far from the behaviors that are listed here by Paul: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, freedom to do as we will, in other words, idolatry, sorcery, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, and carousing. And as Paul states it, you could add other things. What are the things that have gotten into our lives, that we have adopted, that are not consistent with Christ? You know, we have all kinds of freedoms in this country, but they're not all Christian freedoms. Just because it's okay to do it doesn't mean it's okay to do it for the Christian. And so the Christian freedoms we have are summed up in verses 22 and 23. We have freedom to love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You know, if we focus on infiltrating our lives with those things, I think that first list becomes kind of obsolete. Our freedom in Christ means that we have freedom to go out of our way to serve each other. We have the freedom to go all out helping and loving each other. And as we think of our freedom today, let's remember we are freed from the power of sin. We don't have to live in sin. We can fully submit to God and fulfill God's will in being a sold-out slave for Christ. Christian freedom is never to be understood as freedom from responsibility toward others. In Christ, we don't have freedom from, we have freedom to. Freedom to commit ourselves fully to each other, to become a slave for each other, to love each other as Christ loved. You know, our forefathers recognized their lives were on the edge of slavery to a king. So they severed their servitude to a life as servants to this unjust king. They changed their direction by choosing the harder path of independence. It was a path of struggle and pain, ultimately ended in freedom like they had never known. You know, if there would be another country where you could go to and freely live out the Christian life in full freedom, knowing there's no, and to be honest with you, I don't know what country I could recommend today. But back then, they had that in America. And so these people left. They fled their countries over things that we're accepting. Paul tells his readers that for the Christian, this freedom is directed by the Spirit. The battle he describes is between the sinful nature of every person and the guidance offered by the Holy Spirit. You have that struggle. And he explains that the struggle is an individual battle that's within every person. And so the choice is being bound and controlled by the sinful nature or following the Spirit toward ultimate freedom. The struggle for independence is still going on today. The battle over our spiritual freedom continues as well. Don't we all struggle between right and wrong today? And so we decide between loving myself or loving my neighbor. We decide between living by the fruit of the Spirit or living out our sinful desires. And too many times we really don't win out as we ought. But you know, God offers us help. It's not always easy to find. It takes real effort. And we need to control and listen to the Spirit. And it takes effort to follow the Spirit's leading. And so this coming year, I hope we can continue to enjoy the freedoms that we have had in this country. Yes, we've been blessed. But even more, I hope we'll enjoy the freedom that we have been given through Christ. That's the most important freedom we can experience. John 8:36 says, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." And that's real freedom. It's a freedom that is radical submission to the will of God and to our sisters and brothers. And so going forward, let's make Christian freedom the ideal for what we're striving for. You know, the devil's promise of freedom always leads us into the wrong kind of slavery. We're going to be slaves, but we can choose who we're going to be a slave to. And so if the Son makes you free, you're going to be free indeed. I'm an American, but before that, I'm a Christian. And let's never get those two mixed up. Let's stand for prayer. Father God, we thank you for the freedom that we can experience in Christ. Thank you also for the freedom that we've enjoyed in this country. Many people have fled other places where they've not had that privilege and have come to the U.S. But Father, we've erred from your ways. We've become a divided nation. And Father, there's much turmoil and anguish going on among us. And Father, I just pray that you would work out your plan and your will in whatever happens here. And Father, we look forward to the time that we will leave this life and forever spend eternity with you in heaven. That's real freedom. And so, Father, we pray for each person here. Bring us back together again this evening. And may you continue to be in control of everything that's going on about us and in us. For your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.